The book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. I want to read tonight a few verses. I really want to read the whole chapter. It's only 17 verses. Joshua, chapter 3. But before I read this, there's three places in the scripture. This morning we talked about the parting of the Red Sea and talking about deliverance. And but there are two other, and you may know of others, but I only know personally that could come to mind, two other places in the scripture where there was a parting of waters, supernatural parting of waters. The first one, of course, is the one we talked about this morning with the Red Sea and Moses stretching forth his rod and the Red Sea opening up. The second parting of the water is in our text here in Joshua chapter 3. We'll read about that. And then there's a third parting of the waters, and we may get to that too tonight. I'm not sure if we will. It's in 2 Kings chapter 2. Each one of these three partings, and when I got to studying about the Red Sea parting, I got to thinking about these other, and I thought, surely there's spiritual significance and there's a message in these three partings of the water. And the more I looked into this, the more that I see that there's a very clear message to saints of God, to the Christian, and the life of a Christian. But this read here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest that the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Amen. Getting rid of all of those sites. Amen. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all of the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be caught off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priest that before the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which come down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. That's another great story. Another great opening up of the waters, a parting, miraculous parting of the waters. You know that the parting of the Red Sea and the parting of Jordan and the third parting that we may get to, all of them have spiritual messages, spiritual significance. Each one of them are full of types and shadows of things that are to come and that were to come. And of course, we're now looking in the rear view mirror. We see that it's all come to pass. We see the fulfillment of those types. And so this morning we talked about the Red Sea, and we understand that the Red Sea was a type, a symbol of the blood and the washing. And it wasn't the washing of a man's sins, cleansing by the blood of the Lamb. Almost all things are by the law purged. This is Hebrews chapter 9. Almost all are purged, or by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So the reason, another reason why, that God redirected their journey and their path, because they had to go by way of the Red Sea. And if you're going to come out and really be delivered, come out and be set free from your sins, there's only one way, and that is by the purging of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We talked this morning about how important it is to call upon the Lord. When a person gets saved, that he calls upon the Lord, and then he walks the pathway of obedience, and that leads him to the Red Sea. And the Lord provides a cleansing and a washing in this wonderful blood of Jesus. So the Red Sea is a wonderful type of the cleansing of the blood and the choosing of the way of the Lord instead of going the natural way, to going the pathway that is called of God is the choosing of the life of the Spirit instead of the life of the flesh. It's not choosing your own way, but choosing to be obedient to the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to be set free from your sin. Amen. There's nothing but guilt. There's nothing but the burden of sin, a heavy burden, a penalty that you can't pay yourself. You can't do anything about it. You're just under the load of your sin. It's a wonderful thing when you see someone come to the Lord and repent of their sins and become a Christian, washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a glorious and a wonderful thing that is. Do you know that with this first parting, that this was the escape from sin? This was being set free from sin. As we talked this morning, it was the deliverance from sin. But then in the second parting of the water, the entering in of the children of Israel into the promised land, the Jordan River, it parted. As soon as the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as the sole of their feet touched the brim of the water, then that river opened up and they were able to enter in to the promised land. Now, the promised land is a wonderful picture of those things that God has provided for the people of God, victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. We enter into the things that God has for us as a believer. I believe that the crossing of the Jordan is a type of our sanctification, because we become set apart from the world and we are set apart unto God, and we are able to cross that Jordan and enter in to all the wonderful promises of God that are ours. Now, that doesn't mean that we will be able to enter in and that there will not be any struggle. There will be struggles. There will be Jerichos. There will be giants. There will be armies that are embedded into that place. There will be people that have to be driven out, and different groups, like we read, all of these various groups that were promised to them, the Canaanites and the Hivites and all of these ites that had to be driven out of the promised land. So the victory wasn't just something that was to be handed to you. The victory was yours because you were willing to enter in and take the possessions that God had promised to you. And here's the basic thing that's on my mind tonight, and that is that we have been saved and we have been brought out and called out, but we also have been called to enter in to wonderful things that God has for us. Amen. We are not just saved to have no sense of purpose or destiny or never possessing what God has for us. The verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23 gives the insight to this message here tonight. It says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." He brought us out so that he might bring us in. Amen. That's the whole purpose. It's a wonderful thing to get saved. It's a wonderful thing to repent and have your sins forgiven and to have freedom from the influence of the sin and the power of sin and the penalty of sin and all of this weight upon your shoulders as you come to Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful freedom and a wonderful victory that comes into your life. But there's more than that. You have been called out so that you will enter into some wonderful things that God has given to us. Amen. Now, you know that the first generation, they got up to the border just before they were to enter into the promised land. And they came back and they heard the evil report of 10 of the spies, and their hearts melted and they were filled with fear. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They didn't think they could do it, so they turned around and they went right back into the wilderness. And that's the place where a lot of Christians live. That's the kind of life that a lot of Christians live. They haven't made any commitment to God. They haven't entered into the blessing of God. They haven't fought any battles to really take any territories or to take possession that God has for them. They, because of fear and unbelief, live out the days of their Christian life in a desert, in a wilderness experience. But what goes on in the wilderness experience? A lot of people live there. A lot of people get saved, and they never go any further than that. They can just say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved," but they never enter in. They never allow the Lord by His Spirit to do a work of sanctification in their life, so that they can be truly set apart to enter into wonderful things that God has provided for His people. Amen. The first generation, they stayed and died in the wilderness. Their faith was weak, their courage was weak, and they never possessed any of the promises of God. They never went in and took possession of anything. They died in the desert, never enjoying the benefit that had been promised to them because of the word of God and the promise of God. Now, in the desert, they died in the desert, but they lived for 40 years there in the desert. And that desert experience was one of God's provision. God took care of them. The Bible says He rained food out of heaven, heavenly manna, and He fed them. He took care of them. And their clothes never wore out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God took care of them in that out of His mercy. And a lot of us live that kind of a life. God's good to us. He takes care of us. We enjoy some of the benefits of serving God, but we're not getting anywhere. We're not making any progress. Oh, we're traveling a lot. We're doing a lot of things. We're in a lot of activity like they were. And they would pick up their camp, and then they would move to the next camp. But they were just going in circles. I don't know how many times that they wandered in circles in the wilderness. They fought the same enemies. They had the same problems. Their life was just an existence. They never entered in to the promises of God. They traveled, but they didn't get anywhere. They never accomplished anything. They fought battles, but they never took any possessions. It was a survival. That's all it was. And that's the kind of life that I think a lot of Christians, if we'll be honest with ourselves, that's the kind of life that we live. We're just surviving. We're just making it. We're not really progressing. Oh, we're doing things. We're expending energy. We're pulling up camp and traveling to the next thing to do and the next activity to do. And we enjoy along the way some of the blessing of the Lord. He takes care of us and provides for us. And we're grateful for that. But we're not taking any territories. We're not possessing any of the promises of God. We're just simply existing. And that is not the will of God. Amen. That is not the will of God. It is the will of God that we allow Him to lead us into greater things. It was the second generation that when they came up to the border and up to the Jordan River, that they had faith. They had confidence. And Joshua was their leader now. And he was to lead them in to the promised land. And you can imagine the pressures that were upon Joshua, hoping that this generation wouldn't make the mistake of the first generation and turn around and go back. And by the way, I might just add this in here. Sometimes we can look at the young people and we can point our finger and say, well, I wish they would do better. I wish they would dedicate themselves to God. But you know, they've been trained and they have learned a lot of their things that they do by you and me, the older group. They've watched us, and they're doing a whole lot of the same things we're doing, and maybe they've even taken it to another level. Sometimes we want to point our finger at a younger generation when all the while we've not really made that many dedications ourselves. We haven't really committed ourselves to the Lord. We haven't really allowed God by His Spirit to sanctify us, to set us apart from the world and unto Christ. And all the promises of God. Amen. It's true. So the next time you're tempted to criticize some of the young people, you might turn the finger around back at yourself and say, I need to be a better example of godliness. I need to be a person who they can look to as a role model, who's following God, and I'm walking in the things of God, walking in the Spirit and taking possession of the things of God. Amen. If we're just sitting, you know, dry in the desert, how can we expect the next generation that's coming on to have the faith they need to move up into the things that God has for them? Amen. If we have no real commitment to God or the things of God or to the work of God, our commitment is really to ourselves and to what we think and what we want to do and how we want to spend our time. Then don't be surprised if the younger generation gets discouraged by watching our weaknesses and our inconsistencies as we wander in the wilderness. Amen. It's pretty sobering for all of us. But this generation, they went in. The first parting of the water was the escape from Egypt and through the Red Sea. It was the way out. This generation comes up to the Jordan River, and this is the entrance. It's the way in to some wonderful things that God has for the people of God. And that's what I long to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see a younger generation getting a hold of God. And I want to see an older generation like you and me, the non-smartphone generation. I want us to get a hold of God. I want us to lead by example. I want them to have something that they can see in us, that they can say, I want what they have got. I want that kind of a touch of God. I want to be able to have the faith and the courage that they have to serve God and to enter in to the things of God. Notice that Joshua said to that generation, he commanded them and said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest that the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after. Amen. Now the ark of God was symbolic of the presence of God. Everywhere that the ark was, it was symbolic of God's presence being there. And so, in effect, what he was saying to that second generation was, keep your eye on the Lord. Keep your eye on the things of God. Stay in pursuit of the things of God and the presence of God. Pursue the presence of God with all of your heart. Don't take your eye off it. Don't be distracted by anything. Get your eyes focused upon God and upon the things of God. The ark was symbolic of the presence of God. Inside of the ark were three miraculous things. First of all, Aaron's rod was there. Aaron's rod that miraculously began to bud was in the ark, symbolic of the power of God and even the resurrection, that kind of power. The second thing that was inside of that ark was the manna, just a little vessel of the manna that had rained down out of heaven for them, and it was preserved and placed inside of that ark, and it was symbolic of God's provision. The third thing that was in the ark was the law, the tablets of stone. The law of God was inside of that ark, symbolic of the will of God. The will of God. They were to keep their eye upon the Lord. They were to keep their eye upon the will of God, the law of God, and understand that God has been a God who provides and a God who demonstrates His mighty power. Amen. And they were instructed, keep your eye upon the ark. And when it begins to move, then you move. Amen. Really, that's a wonderful thing about the younger generation, I think. The younger generation, whenever there's a genuine, real move of God in our church services, when it's a real move of God, then you don't have to tell the young people to enter in. They already are. It's just in them. They just are ready. They're ready. When the Spirit of God begins to move, now I might have to look over the audience and say to the older folks, come on, folks, let's get in, because we get so settled down into our pew that it just about takes something big to get us to respond a little bit. But the younger generation, their eye seems to be on the things of God, seems to be on the presence of God. And I want to encourage you, younger folks, here tonight, to know that God has some wonderful things that He has provided for you. Don't get your eye off of God. Don't get your eye off the things of God. Do not get your eye off the presence of God. But when God begins to move, then you move right with it. You move with it. That was the instruction. When the ark of God moves, you move. Amen. Glory to God. You see, the promised land was a picture, a type of the victorious life. Sure, there were enemies there. There were great walled cities there. There were giants there. That was the very thing that it caused the first generation to say, we can't do anything about this. But somehow the second generation had got a hold of the faith and the courage of Joshua and Caleb, because they were ready and they were willing to march in. And I just pray that God is raising up a younger generation here among us, and others that God may bring in to our church of the younger set, the children and the teens and the youth, that God will do such a work in them that they'll want more. They'll want to take hold of the promises of God. They'll want to see God working in a supernatural way in their behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pursue the presence of God. That's what he was instructing them to do. Stay with the presence of God. Then he said, but keep a space Keep a space between you, 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Always have a, always be in awe of it. Always be reverent. Always be respectful toward the preciousness of God's Spirit and God's presence. It's easy to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's easy to quench the Holy Spirit of God. And so sometimes, you know, the youth, maybe with, you know, just youthfulness and maybe sometimes even immaturity, maybe they would quench the Spirit. And sometimes us older folks, we quench the Spirit just because we won't move. We won't respond. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The parting of the Red Sea was the way out, but the parting of the Jordan was the way in. Amen. To some wonderful, glorious things that God has for the people of God. Notice how both of these incidences, and actually the third one too, they all have, before it required the action of the human agency in both cases, that Moses had to obey the command of God and stretch forth the rod. And the Levites had to pick up the ark, and they had to walk toward that river, who they say now is just a little small little stream, but in biblical times it would get out of the stream and would be so big and so out of its banks that it was this rushing mighty river. The name Jordan means descending out of the hills, out of the mountains, and so it just come rushing out of the mountains. And so they weren't walking up to some little trickling stream. They were walking up to a rushing river. Amen. It was out of its banks. So it took a lot of faith. It took a lot of courage for those Levites to step out and to put their feet in the middle of that water. But as soon as the sole of their feet touched that water, it separated. It parted. And it was, again, in this case, dry land that they were able to walk across in a dry passageway across the Jordan River and to enter into the promise of God. Amen. As I said, it's symbolic of sanctification. They were to leave 12 stones out of the middle of the river as a memorial to what had happened. It was like they were saying, this is where we left our old life. This is where the old life was left behind. We're moving into the promised land. We know there's a Jericho there. We know that there are all of these different groups and tribes and nations that inhabit this land. We understand that there's giants in the land, but we are going in and we're going to possess it. Hallelujah. Lord, raise up a generation who have that kind of faith and that kind of confidence in the promise of God, that not only have they been led out and saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, but they understand that they have been led out so that they can be brought in. Amen. To some wonderful, wonderful things that God has for His people. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 real quick. I'll take 10 minutes on this by the help and grace of God. 2 Kings chapter 2, here's the third parting. Now, if you know of some others in the Bible that I'm not thinking of, these are the only three that I could remember. And as I went into this study, I think it's significant. The first one, the way out. The second one, the way in. The first one, the escape. The second one, the entrance in. The third one, let's read about it in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I know that a lot of times we think that I've heard it when I was a child, remember, that he went up in a chariot of fire. Well, that's not what it says. It says he went up in a whirlwind. I don't know if he's riding that chariot or not. Doesn't say that he was, does it? Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he took him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Well, if the first parting was a picture of salvation and the escape from sin, and the second one was a type of the entrance into the promises of God, the third one has to be a type of the Holy Ghost. And the word that I'm going to use is empowerment. Amen. Amen. So I could get the three E's in here. Empowerment. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with power. Notice that Elisha said, here's what I want. I want a double portion. I want a double portion of thy spirit. There was nothing shy, nothing backward about this younger prophet. He wanted what God had done in the life of Elijah and more. He wanted greater. And we are really facing serious times in our world and in our nation. And so the succeeding generation that's coming on right now, they need more than what we have. They need more than what the generation of their spiritual fathers have had. They need a double portion. And I believe that they have just as much courage and just as much of a desire for it. They're longing for it. They're wanting God to work and to move. And so they're willing to ask for hard things. That's what Elijah said. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Amen. They were not, this prophet, young prophet was not going to, he wasn't just taking, you know, the easy road. He was asking for big things. He was asking for great things. He was asking for hard things. And Elijah said, if you'll just keep your eye on me, if you will not leave me, if you'll keep your focus upon me, that I will give you, I will promise to you that it shall be so. Amen. So younger people, younger generation, get your eye upon the Lord. Get your eye upon the promises of God. Don't be distracted. Don't be hindered. Keep your eye upon the Lord, because God will fulfill His promise. And He will work mightily if we'll just put our trust in the Lord. I've heard other stories about moves of the Spirit of God that began among young people. And I experienced that as a young person. In a revival meeting in the church that I grew up, it started among the young people. It wasn't a real large group, probably about the size. Brother James has been having anywhere from 18 to 20 or 21 or 2 back there on Wednesday nights. It was about that size of a group. But in that revival meeting, the preacher wasn't necessarily a young preacher, but somehow it was the Spirit of God that was dealing and working in the lives of the young people. And God began to work among the young girls and the young teenage boys and even some of the children. It was in that meeting. I don't remember how many were saved and how many were filled with the Holy Ghost. And during that meeting, I just know that the youth group was never the same again. It literally turned the direction around. And those that didn't want to get in, they realized they need to kind of back away, because that the real move of God was going to overpower anything that they might try to do to counter it. It was a genuine work of the Spirit of God. It was in that meeting that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was the first time that I sensed in my heart that maybe that God might want to use a little shy little guy to preach the gospel. As I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they said to me later, after I had spoken tongues for a couple of hours in a back Sunday school room, that many after that service, several people came to me and said, you know, during that time, while you were speaking in tongues, every once in a while, you would begin to point your finger and speak with tongues with a more of an urgency, kind of like I'm doing right now. And it was the Spirit of God that was confirming that God can do a work in the backward, in the shy, and those that hadn't made really any commitments to the Lord before, but now He wanted to do something wonderful and mighty in all of our lives. Hallelujah. So I'm going through this tonight because I want not only do I want to encourage the young people, but I want to ask you, moms and dads and grandparents, maybe grandparents, I think that what we need to do is, with all of our hearts and with every bit of energy that we have and burden that we have, we need to take the names of these young folks that are in our church, from the children to those that are in their those that are preteens and those that are early teens and those that are high schoolers and those that are college age, and we need to begin to call upon God in their behalf. We need to begin to pray for them with all of our heart, that God will pour out His Spirit upon us so that it'll overflow upon this succeeding generation, and that God will begin a revival among the young people. And us older folks, let's not do anything to hinder it. Let's not do anything to discourage it. Let's get out of the wilderness and just move into the promised land and to the things that God has for us. Hallelujah. The first parting was the escape. The second parting was the entrance into the promised land. And the third parting was the empowerment of the second generation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible, when they saw Him, He took hold of that mantle that came from His father, spiritual father Elijah, and He struck the waters, and the waters opened up, and He walked across that Jordan River. Then all of that great company of those of the school of the prophets that were up on the hillside watching this event take place, they said, surely the Spirit of God is upon him. Surely the Spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha now. They witnessed it, and God began to work and to move mightily through those prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What we need is a parting of the waters. Amen. Amen. Some that need to be saved to get truly born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Some to get sanctified by the Spirit and by the Word of God. And then others to be filled with the Spirit, empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word. Lord, we know that you can move and you can part the waters and you can change lives and circumstances. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that the older and the younger would take courage. Lord, and we recognize that the thing that's so needed, Lord, is for us to enter into the things that you have for us, Lord, and to see you touching our lives, Lord, and us taking possession of things that, Lord, you have for us, that you have promised for us. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and baptize in the Holy Ghost, Lord, and give us a power to do ministry. Give us a power to go forth, Lord, to see lives changed by the power of God. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.